Good morning. Welcome back. Welcome back after the summer. Did you enjoy the Olympics? Are you enjoying the Paralympics?
Yes.
Fantastic, isn't it?
Wonderful.
Got an exciting, one of my favorite bits of doing this job. My name's David. I'm along with Alison. We're the pastors here at Wharfdale Vineyard. I got it before you did. Leeds Vineyard. I wonder how many more times I'm going to do that. It's okay. It's still in existence as a legal entity in the Wharfdale Vineyard. So, at the Leeds Vineyard. And one of the things I love doing is seeing people get baptized because of what it means. And I want to explain a little bit about that this morning. If you're here because you've come to witness one of your family members or friends being baptized, you're very, very welcome too. I hope you have a good time this morning, and I hope that you meet with the God that we worship and love, and that he speaks to you and changes your life too. Now, I think, is Tim with us, or is he with the kids? Tim Griffin is one of the guys being baptized. He's with the children, and they'll be seeing the same videos, and they'll be praying for him and such like. The other three are with us, and we'll introduce them a little bit later on, and then we'll pray for them, but I just want to give you some introductions, first of all, into what we're doing, for those of you who've never been to a baptism before. Most of you have heard the story about how Jesus got baptized in the River Jordan, and you remember John the Baptist was there doing his thing, and they have this little debate, and John the Baptist says, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. They were cousins, so they knew each other, and John knew who Jesus was, and Jesus says, let it be so now. It's proper for us all to do this, to fulfill righteousness. It's the right thing to do. So it all starts there, and if it's good enough for Jesus, well. And then immediately afterwards, as Jesus comes out of the water, you know the story about the dove coming down and God speaking from the heavens and said, this is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. That's a pretty good indicator that this is a good thing and something that we should do. And I'd encourage all of you to do it if you haven't already been baptized. And just in case you've got any doubts in your mind, Jesus, one of the last things he says when he leaves, and he commissions his disciples, and by extension he commissions us, and he says, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Sorry, he doesn't. He says, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I think it's a good thing. It's something God wants us to do, and it's a wonderful celebration of our faith. There's some dispute as to how much water we should use, and there's some dispute over ages. If you're interested in that, I'm happy to talk to you about that. We are sort of pretty open-minded about it, and there's a leaflet out on the welcome desk which explains some of the background thinking. But for today's purposes, we're baptizing four young people with a lot of water in the river. Hopefully not so much so that we lose any of them floating off down to Wetherby. And they've made a decision to be obedient to Jesus' commission and his example. Baptism is what we call a sacrament. It's a symbol. It's something that has an external, visible angle to it, but which represents something that's unseen and invisible. And it means something much more than the simple act. I don't know if any of you are watching the Paralympic ceremony on Wednesday, but the eight Olympians, the basketball players, I think, in wheelchairs, carried the flag up to the pole, and we were listening to the Paralympic theme. I didn't know there was one, but there is. And then they raised the flag up. That's a symbol. It's only a piece of cloth with some sort of arcs on it. It's only a piece of music. It's just a symbol. It doesn't actually mean much, except for what it really means, which is what it represents behind the scenes. It represents what? That disabled people have as much value as non-disabled people, that anything is impossible is possible. I'm not sure I agree with that, but lots of things are possible. That it's worth striving to get better at something and to compete. So there's a big backstory, isn't there, to that symbol. It's the same with baptism. It's only water and getting your clothes wet. But it's actually, there's a big backstory to it. There's a big thing that it represents which you don't see, and this symbol helps us to remember it and to understand it. Paul describes it like this in his letter to the Romans in Romans chapter 6. He says this, All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now that's a dense paragraph, and I could happily spend hours exploring it with you, but we won't do that just today. What it's trying to explain is this enormity of this backstory to the symbol of being baptized. It's a big deal. It involves all sorts of things, not just getting wet. It involves sin and death and resurrection and new life and freedom. Let me briefly describe what's going on in the lives of these young people and in many of us. I want to describe the meaning of the symbol. And some of these things are things that have happened, and some of the things that will happen, some of the things that are happening ongoing. We did a symbol at a particular point in time, but it represents a wider chronology. So if we start over here, we are sort of doing our own thing, having a great time in life, and at some point it dawns on us that this is more than just about us, and that there's a God in heaven who loves us, and that we want to get rid of our own preoccupation with ourselves and the sin and the things we can't stop doing. And so we turn around and we face him, and we face towards him. We begin a journey towards him. And as we take a step into the water, we're leaving that life behind, and we're deciding to go for a new life. There's repentance. That turn is repentance. It's saying, I don't want to sin anymore. I'm sorry for my sin, and I'm going to turn to a new life. And then when we go into the water, that's dying to the old and being buried, like Jesus was buried. And it's saying all that sin that Jesus died for is washed away, and we're clean, and it's a new life. As we come up the other side, we come out of the water, and that symbolizes resurrection and new life and freedom. And then we walk into the arms of our friends and family in the church community, and that represents joining Jesus and his family, his church, his body. Do you understand the story that we're going through? That's the sequence, and that short thing that we do, it's telling a big story of people being rescued and choosing to follow Jesus. Huge, eternal, cosmic significance in the symbol that we take. Now, I want to introduce you to the three people in here, and Tim, who's in the other room. I'm not quite sure which order we're going to show these videos. We've got three video clips to show you, all done slightly differently, but we've asked them roughly the same questions so that you can get to know them. They don't have to come up here and stand in the spotlight, and then we'll pray for them, okay? So I'm going to hand over to the AV team, and let's see what comes. So just bear with us.
Who you are and tell me about where you come from.
I'm Adam. I'm 18, from Leeds, born and raised. I'm going to university in September to study creative music technology at Hull. So I'm looking forward to that.
I'm Adam, and I'm from Leeds.
And what's happening in your life at the moment?
And I'm just about to leave home and go study history and politics at Hull.
Tell me a bit about your background.
Yeah, so I've been brought up knowing Jesus since I was a young age, and I'd say the first like pivotal moment was when I went to New Wyon for the first year, which is about 5 or 6 years ago, and I saw something that I really liked, and I just wanted to be a part of it, really. So after 2 weeks of getting back, I said a prayer with my mum and dad, and it's been up and down since then, but I've never doubted my faith or anything like that. So,
well, I was going to church since forever, because my parents are both Christian, and I've always gone to church, but about 13, 14, I started to move, like, drift away. I didn't go to church as much. But I think it was because I was just wanted to figure out whether I was doing it for me or to please my parents, whether I actually believed in God or was just a dumb thing. And I came back and I knew that I was doing it for me and not anybody else.
How do you expect the future to unfold?
It's always going to be up and down, and I know that when I'm down, I can, that is always Jesus for me to like to turn to, and I can pray, and I can talk to like people from my church, and you know, get prayer, and yeah, it's, I'm looking forward to the journey ahead.
I think it's going to be a bit different, and it's going to be strange, but I think I'm ready for it, and I think that this new, more intense relationship with God is something that I'm looking forward to and that He can guide me.
Tell me who you are and tell me about where you've come from.
I'm Adam, I'm 18.
So, hi, who are you?
I'm Tim, I'm 10 years old and I've lived in Leeds all my life, but now I'm moving with my family to Sheffield so that we can plant a church. I have one brother, Pete, and I enjoy rollerblading, climbing, and generally mucking about.
Okay, and tell me about Jesus. How have you got to know about Jesus?
Well, my family taught me a lot about him, and so did my friends. And in the last year, I just made up my mind that I'm going to follow Jesus for the rest of my life.
Cool. And so, I hear you want to be baptised, is that right?
Yeah.
Tell me about baptism. What does that mean to you?
Well, to me, baptism is just a way of showing people I love God, I want to be with Him forever, and that's who I am.
Cool. Okay, have a great time.
You too.
So, hi, who are you?
Well, hello. Tell me what your name is and where are you from?
Finstar, and I'm from Leeds.
Tell me a bit about your background.
Born in Leeds, right in the centre, and always lived in Headingley, near the rugby stadium.
Where are you now?
I'm still right in Headingley, yeah. Right, very, very close to the stadium, uncomfortably close sometimes.
And you grew up in a Roman Catholic church, is that right?
Yeah, which I think that really helped me on sort of coming to understand about what Jesus is about, and to do with the Bible, with liturgy, and getting my Holy Communion. As much when I was younger, as most do, I despised it, but then I became more mature, and I did enjoy it much more, and more appreciated it.
Why do you want to be baptised?
Well, because I want to be not only proved to myself, but also to the people around me that I do believe in Jesus, and it is what I want to follow. And I also want to be forgiven for things I've done in the past and just start anew.
Then you started coming to the youth group at the Vineyard. Tell me a bit about that.
My friend Luke invited me to it, saying it'd be fun. And I went, and I really did enjoy it. And then I got to know Liz and Ian more. And they told me more about the Vineyard churches and what they do. And I thought it sounded really good and really what I, you know, I'm interested in exploring more.
And then you went off on a weekend?
Yeah, that they persuaded me to come to DTI, which I don't regret a bit. I at first went there just thinking it'd be a laugh, it'd just be a fun weekend, but then I realised it was much more of a sort of much more of a solid belief, really, rather than just sort of trailing along with it.
Okay. And what happened?
Well, it started off with the worship in the mornings and evenings, and I really got into the rhythm of everything. Everything seemed really great, and everyone was all in the same mood and putting their hands in the air. And everything just seemed to slide into place for me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, both during DTI and some of the speeches there, and afterwards, I realised much more of a purpose to, you know, treat others how I'd want to be treated and help them and be more tolerant and forgiving.
Tell me about how you
decided you'd met with Jesus, where that was special?
Well, the main thing for me was when I was singing along to one of the songs, singing my head off, and I closed my eyes at one point, and I really felt much lighter, physically lighter, and I felt like everything inside me rising up, and it suddenly all went rushing down as if it was hitting the floor in a very much relieved sort of cleansed sort of way. And I sort of felt a bit lightheaded after that, and my friend Joe, who's next to me, was saying, "Are you all right, Finna?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I told some of the youth leaders about it, and they said, "It's very much, you know, the Holy Spirit has done that."
Well, hello. Isn't that great? Thank you for letting us video you, guys. We want to pray for you now. So where are you? Where are you? There's one there. Where's Finn? Oh, there's Ree. Where's Finn? Okay, did you want to stand up where you are? We're going to just pray for them. If you want, those of you who are near them, just reach out your hands and lay your hands on their shoulders or whatever. If you're sitting further away and you want to join in, feel free. Just clamber over everybody else and come and pray for them, especially if you're in one of the youth team or related to them, or just feel like praying for them. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. We're now praying for them, by the way. It's not that we've run out of things to say. The people around them are praying for them, and if they get something they particularly want to say out loud, they will. I'm just going to rub it on in the background. So they'll be praying for them. What's happening is that they're looking at the person and they're saying, "Lord Jesus, what do you want to say to this person? What do I want for this person in their life following you?" And then they're going to pray that prayer or share that thought with them. That's how we pray for people. We're not shouting at them. We're not trying to manipulate them emotionally. If you have something you'd like to share with them, if you get a scripture or a prophecy that you want to share with them, in these red boxes on the table in the middle are some writing things and notebooks and stuff. You can write something out for them and give it to them, or just send them a note later on. Please don't forget, because it's a really valuable thing. They're going to carry on praying for a minute. I'm just going to explain what we'll actually do when we get to Ilkley. We're going to Ilkley. When we're all there, we'll be by the side of the river, and the people who are actually baptizing them, which all those people will have been baptized themselves and will be part of the church, and they will go with them into the water. They'll come from one side, and they'll come in into the water, and they will ask them if they believe in Jesus. I've got a little three questions we ask, and hopefully they'll all say yes. And then they will lower them down under the water and bring them hopefully back up again, and then they will walk out of the water towards you standing on the side, and somebody there will have a towel wrapped around them, and then we'll pray for them by the side of the river. It'll only take a few minutes, but that's the exercise that we're going to go through a bit later on. Isn't it exciting? I think this is a cause for celebration. In fact, I'm feeling so moved, I think we should clap for them and say, "Well done." Celebrate with them the fact that they have decided to follow Jesus and are willing to say so publicly to everybody. Right, young people, I think you can escape. We're running slightly behind, so you've got a bit of extra time. John, you can do what you like with them. Gosh, there's lots of you. Great. I just want to shift subjects briefly, just for 5 or 10 minutes. I want to share some thoughts with you about what we've been thinking and praying about and linked to the name change and things. This is a three-part talk. I'm going to give a short bit this morning, and then I'm going to unpack it over the next couple of weeks. Back at the beginning of the year, we felt the Lord gave us this scripture. Prepare in Isaiah chapter 40. Have we got that PowerPoint? Give them a few minutes to find it. Let me read it to you. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, a voice one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. It was something that we looked at earlier on this year, and we thought about the encouragement that we had to move obstacles out of the way as we try and pursue what God is calling us to. It's inviting God, the story is that this passage comes from, is inviting God to Jerusalem and to bring reformation and restoration and healing for the city. And that's what part of what we feel called to, that part of our purpose as a church is to prepare the way for God to come and change the city and to change us as we change the city and to show his glory in the city. At the same time, we were reminded of another passage which we've been visited from time to time over the years, and it's from Jeremiah 29. It says this, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Pray, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've called you. And there's a definite it's incumbent upon us to look outwards at the city that we're part of. And both of these pronouncements, although they're written some 2,500 years ago, I think they're God's way of encouraging us in a sort of slightly new, not in a new, not a radically new direction, but just pushing us a bit faster and further ahead in the life of this vineyard here. And let me just talk a little bit about that. This is a new season, and I've called this, when I've been talking to the leaders about it, the first 5 years. Not the next 5 years, but the first 5 years. And it links with our change of name. It's the first 5 years of the Leeds Vineyard. It may or may not be 5 years. Five-year plans last for about a month. But we'll go with 5 years for now. We've changed our name. That's one of the highlights. And on the website, there's a newspaper article all about the story about why we were called Wharfdale and why we've shifted to be calling Leeds. Another significant highlight that brings in this new season is that Ben and Kate are both now on staff as associate pastors. Another significant part that has heralded the season is that we've planted out at least two churches in the form of Harrogate and Sheffield, as we just talked about. And there's various other things. I haven't got time to go into them. So looking ahead, what's going to be different? And much is going to be the same, but there's one or two things that are going to be different. One is that we're restructuring our leadership and the way we do the oversight, and I'll explain about that more later on. And we are as part of that, we're launching something we call the Discovering Vineyard course, probably running in November, and it'll be a sort of come to the welcome supper and then go on the Discovering Vineyard course. And I'll be encouraging many of you to do the Discovering Vineyard course, even if you've been around for quite a while. I'll tell you more about that later as well. But that's those are two fairly major things that are coming up. The other major thing is that we feel called to reorientate our geography from Sheepscar, where we have our vineyard centre, which is basically a set of traffic lights and concrete, and from here, where we meet on Sundays, which is a great school and it's a wonderful community we're in, but it feels out of the city, and when we leave the building, we walk into a car park. We're going to move from Sheepscar and Holt Park as places that we are at the moment, and we're going to reorientate towards Headingley. And so all I want to do, I'm just going to describe what I think this will look like over the next 5 years, our sort of plan. don't hold me to this. This is just to get us going, okay? But this is what I think it'll look like. And then I want to talk a little bit about why Headingley, and then we'll unpack the bulk of it in the next couple of weeks. So first of all, I want to describe it in three phases. So the first phase is that we're here. We're in Shipscar, we're in Holt Park, and we're here. And we should have a slide for this. This comprises of we're gathering, we continue to gather. We want to research about Headingley. Next slide, I think. We want to research about Headingley and pray and plan for the future and do some work. We've started on that. I've talked a little bit about developing the discovery leadership tracks. We'll talk more about that. We want to simplify and slim down and focus a bit. We have rather a wide portfolio, which we've allowed to flourish, and it's time just to prune it a little and to condense our resources a little. We need to raise funds. We're running pretty close to the bone financially, so we need to raise some more funds and some sort of reserves and build our resources, financial and otherwise. So that's the stage we're in at the moment. The next phase, on the next slide, is that we're going to continue to gather. You'll see that theme reemerge. I anticipate sometime, probably next year, but maybe before that, we'll move weekly worship from here into Headingley. We'll at some point sell the Vineyard Centre and find a similar base, which may be the same place as the place we worship in Headingley. We'll sort of encourage activity around Headingley. We won't, in the sense of if there's, shall we do a house group there or a house group there, and there's no other reason to do it one place or other, that we might go for Headingley rather than somewhere else. But we'll still do all the stuff we do all around the city as well. And then I expect to see our ministry to the emerging generation expand and grow. By that I mean older school children, young professionals, people in their 20s, students, all that age group. We'll further, and then the final this phase that sort of runs after that we've called Hub. So the last one was called Home. This one is called Hub, the final phase, which is where we continue to gather and where we develop our pastoral care a bit more and our social justice more. We make sure we're making a citywide impact. We're further going to develop the Vine, and which is our charity, and Reach Out, which are our outward activities. And we'll continue to do church planting and release congregations. So that's the next sort of 5 years in roughly three phases. It's particularly vague because, in my experience, you can't be too specific about things like that. We think that's where the Lord's taking us, and I'm really quite excited about all that. Let me tell you why. Why Headingley? Okay. I want to talk about, just explain that to you, and then next week we're going to talk about making it our home, and the week after that we're going to talk about making it the hub for the whole city. For the first 10 years of the life, next slide, I think it's a blank one. Oh no, yeah, leave it like that. For the first 10 years of the life of this vineyard, we've wandered around North Leeds like a displaced people, asking desperately for somebody to let us use their facilities, and we've used the David Lloyd Club, we've used the Grammar School, we've used Carmana High School, we've used hotels in Bramhope and Wetherby, we've used various pubs, we've used this school, of course, and along the way we purchased the Vineyard Centre a few years ago. When we purchased the Vineyard Centre, we almost deliberately purchased it because it wasn't anywhere, in the sense that nobody lives there, it's just a business park. We didn't want to sort of identify a geography for ourselves. It was a deliberate policy. I've always been very keen that our community involvement, the front line of our community involvement, is our house groups. That's a sort of policy decision, in the sense that where we happen to meet on a Sunday, the postcode that happens to be in Holt Park at the moment, it may change, and the fact that you drive in here from all sorts of different places doesn't necessarily make this our front line of our community involvement. It's more around where you live and where you go to house group, and that doesn't change. Having said that, I think our nomadic existence is coming to an end. I think it's been appropriate, but I think the Lord has given us permission to start putting our roots down. Next screen, I think. Yes, thank you. I'm going to tell you a little story. Although up until I was about 10, I lived in Bangladesh. My parents were missionaries there. my sort of formative growing up period, the bit I remember growing up in, was lived in Headingley. And I used to cycle up and down Otley Road to school every day. I delivered newspapers to the houses in Headingley. I delivered milk for a while until I dropped too many. I used to watch cricket at the cricket ground. In fact, I used to stand at the corner of Shore Lane at the end of school day and watch the school buses come down from Lawnswood in the vain hope of catching a glimpse of my beloved Alison. She didn't know that. I just knew that she'd be sitting on this bus as it went past. And in my summer times, I used to work at the Original Oak, serving behind the bar. Eventually, I managed to catch Alison and wrest her off the other men going for her, and we got married. And we moved to Headingley and then Meanwood and lived in that area, and I was involved in local politics, and I played rugby down there, and we lived much of our social life around there. And about 20 years ago, I was in a conference with John Wimber, who's the founder of the Vineyard, and he was talking about church planting, and he had this throwaway line about church planters go back to their roots. And and a little light went on, not that I would necessarily church plant, but if I were, then where's my roots? Headingley. That was sort of in the back of my mind at that point. And eventually, we came back. I didn't know at the time, but eventually we did come back to Leeds and we planted a church. However, when we got back here, there was a vineyard already here in Headingley. Now, I'm not resentful about that, but it made me think that the vineyard that Headingley was closed to me. I wasn't cross about it. It just felt, that particular little idea doesn't work for me. And we moved on. And the other vineyard did a wonderful thing, but then that closed a few years ago. But nothing really changed. Until the last year or so, I've just felt God has been speaking to me a bit. Well, he has. I've had people who give me prophetic words and various pictures and encouragements and scriptures, which have made me, sort of prepared me to think something different. And then earlier this year, a couple of things started happening. There was about half a dozen things. Let me just tell you about two of them. One was that Colin and Teresa joined us, and I was just chatting with Colin, trying to be friendly like I do, and we ended up talking about a church building in Headingley, and Headingley, yes, those are my roots. Oh, this is a church building. It wasn't like a huge thought. It was like a sort of, I've forgotten about Headingley. I thought it was closed. And then a little bit later, John and Debbie Wright came to speak, and many of you have been here that Sunday in February, I think it was, and we took them on a little tour around Leeds, and they don't know Leeds very well, and they were about how we did things, less than complimentary. As John and Debbie, they don't take any prisoners. I asked them what they thought, and they told me. And so some of the changes we've made over the last few months have been as a result of that. But another one of their throwaway comments was about Headingley. And I thought it sort of got me thinking until I felt that the close sign had turned to, next slide, open. I think God was orchestrating things to make me think like that. And eventually Alice and I said to each other, we've got to go to Headingley. For me at that point, it was like, okay. And so I started to think. I began to get new vision for what we could do. Let me just say a bit about what we're not doing. Some of you are thinking, they just want the students. We're not doing that. I mean, Headingley happens to have lots of students in it, but that's not what we're doing. We're not going to become a student church. I hope lots of students come, but this will not be a student church. We're not going to drop everything else to focus on Headingley. So if you're running a house group in Roundhay and you're investing in that local community, carry on doing it. We've got to be somewhere, and we're going to be in Headingley. It doesn't stop what we're doing in other places. Alice and I have invested a lot in our neighbourhood, in the Belvederes, and we don't intend to stop that. We're not buying a building. We haven't got a building in mind at the moment. So you think this is all a bit of a farce, talking about it. don't even know where we're going yet. I just know it's in that postcode. We might buy somewhere. More likely, we'll rent something, give us some flexibility. We've got to find somewhere first. So that's something to pray about. So it's not about a building. It's about the community. It's about the place where we place ourselves. So next week, I'm going to expand more on how we will make Headingley our home. And the week after, I'll talk more about how Headingley will become a hub for us, or how we will make our hub in Headingley. The scriptures I read at the beginning were this: prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths in the wilderness, build and settle down, build houses and settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. We've got a kingdom mandate to prepare a road into the city for the King of Kings. This is not about me and my grand plans. It's not about us having a nice, happy huddle together. We're a family with a purpose. And that purpose is to be warriors in the mission of God, to take part in establishing his kingdom, his rule, his reign. So the strategy is to remove obstacles. Can we just go to the next screen? It's to remove obstacles, to settle down, to become part of the community. Next screen, please. To remove the obstacles, to settle down, to become part of the community, to pray for the people around us, to make a difference for the kingdom, to see the lost saved and the lonely placed in families. Headingley is just one suburb in Leeds, and it means less to most of you than it does to me. But like anywhere else, you can stand on a corner in Headingley or in the city or anywhere else, and you can watch the hustle and bustle of people going past, the lost, the lonely, the least as they wander past. You can see people pursuing life dreams that are going to take them nowhere. You can just know that behind those masks are suffering souls, pain and shame. People looking for an answer. People looking for healing. People looking for grace and mercy. People have yet to meet Jesus. So we've got to base ourselves somewhere. We're going to base ourselves in Headingley. And that's where we feel the Lord is putting us. And from where we will carry out this kingdom mandate. We want to win Headingley for Jesus. We want to win Leeds for Jesus. Does anybody want to do that with me? Let's pray. Would you like to stand, if you're able? Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. I feel the Lord saying that he wants to empower us. We need empowering. We need his presence. We need his power. We can't do this stuff wherever we are, whether we're from Leeds or somewhere else, without his power, without his presence, without his grace. Some of you have had a tough time over the last few weeks. You need him. Those of us who have had a reasonably great time over the last few weeks, we still need him. We can't do this on our own. Lord, we need your power. Would you come with your Holy Spirit and release your power into our lives? Empower us to do what you've called us to do. Now let him come. More of your Spirit, Lord. More of your Spirit. For those of you not familiar with what I'm doing, I've asked God, literally the God of the universe who sends his Holy Spirit to us, I've asked him to come and, he's been here all morning, but I've asked him to come particularly now and to fill us, fill each of you, fill your hearts with his presence and his power. And when he does that, often things don't stay the same. So you may find that your heart is beating faster, or that your hands have become a bit sweaty, or that you're shaking a little bit. That's fine. We're not making that happen. That's just, you know, when the wind blows through the trees, the leaves move. You can't see the wind, but the leaves move. Well, it's an evidence of his presence. It may be that you hear him speaking to you when I stop rabbiting on. You hear his voice saying, this is what I've called you to, this or that or the other. More, Lord, more. We're just going to do this for a little bit longer, then I'll ask the band to come and play some songs as we finish. But just if you're engaged with God right now, if he's speaking to you, you sense his presence, you just carry on as you are. If you're not particularly engaged with him, you open your eyes and look around, and just, if you want to, you don't have to, just sit down if you don't want to, but have a look around, and just, if there's somebody near you where they're obviously engaged with God, and that means they've probably got their eyes shut, maybe their arms are out, you may see them shaking a little bit or whatever, just put your hand on them and ask the Holy Spirit to carry on doing what he's doing. That's your prayer. More, Lord. So just move now. Ready, steady, go. Go and find somebody to pray for if you're not already engaged with him. Don't worry if somebody isn't praying for you. It's just we haven't got enough people. The Lord is still blessing you. Lord, will you, I bless what you're doing. I bless what you're doing. Would you speak now? Would you release your calling? Would you remind people what you've asked them to do? More of your power, Lord. Speak truth. Some of you are doubting, and that's fine. You've got questions. I've got questions. Lord, I ask you to speak truth. Lord Jesus, I thank you for our time today. I pray that you'll be with us as we go up to the baptism. And I ask you to bless this group of people as they do your kingdom stuff in this week. I ask you to reveal yourself to them and bless us as we be the church. We're in our workplaces, in our neighbors, amongst our neighbors, wherever we are, in our families, would you be with us? May we express your love and your grace to those around us. In Jesus' name. Amen.